Jesus on the cross, the people crying, looking on a man would think it a tragedy. But what this world could not see was when they nailed him to
when that blood came streaming down that cross where my Jesus bled and died, it started blossoms of forgiveness growing free.
Good song. Matthew 27. Matthew 27, the first gospel as you get into the New Testament, Matthew and chapter 27. I hope when you sit and listen to the specials that you're doing more than just critiquing or analyzing. I hope that you're listening to the words of the song. It has great words to the choir song today, great words to the special, and ministered to my heart at both times as I listened to both the choir and the special music. If you found Matthew 27 and you're able to stand, do that in honor of God's word with me this morning. I'm going to begin reading in verse number 11. Verse number 11. The Bible says, "And Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, Art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus said unto him, Thou sayest. And when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then said Pilate unto him, Hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee? And he answered him to never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. Now at that feast the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner, whom they would. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ?" Now, I want you to read with me verse number 26, if you have your Bible. If not, that's fine. But if you have your Bible, let's read verse 26 together. Ready? And let's read. "Then released he Barabbas unto them. And when he had scourged Jesus, He delivered him to be crucified. I want to speak this morning on the subject, a picture of you and me. A picture of you and me. Father, help us today as we get into your word now. I pray, oh God, you'd bless our hearts and our minds. Lord, may we do our part to shut out the things that are going on outside the four walls of this building. And for the next several minutes, just look at your book, concentrate, open our hearts to your Spirit. Your Spirit of God, would you fill us with your power, both speaker and listener? And I pray that good things will be accomplished in the hearts of folk this morning. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you and be seated. Down through time, many born-again believers have named their children after Bible characters. That being said, there are a lot of Bible characters who probably would not be honored in that way. For instance, I have yet to hear of anyone naming their sons after Abraham's nephews, Huzz and Buzz. I don't think that'll happen. David, John, Paul, Mary, Ruth, those are names that have been used frequently for children. Judas, not so much. Nor Barabbas. You name your dog that, that's right. Now, you know I call Pastor Danny Barajas Brother Barabbas. I call him that. I call him that in fun. And he says, yes, Pastor Anglia. And so we have a good time. Now, and for good reason. However, maybe more than anyone else in the Bible, Barabbas is a good picture or representation of all human beings. Everybody in this room. In this text, Jesus is on trial in front of Pilate, the Roman governor. The Romans were in control. They were the world power. And the Romans allowed conquered people, such as the Jews, to follow their own legal system so long as they did not put a person to death. So if the Jews felt somebody needed to be punished, they could enforce a punishment, but it could not result in, the punishment could not be death. Under Roman law, there was no such crime as blasphemy. No such crime as blasphemy. But the Jews attempted to convince the Romans that Jesus was, number one, guilty of blasphemy, and number two, that blasphemers deserved the death penalty. They wanted him to put Jesus to death. Now, the Jewish leaders, they had already held their own mock trial, and they'd used false witnesses, and they had accused Jesus of blasphemy, and they had sentenced him to die, but they couldn't actually put him to death. So they took Jesus to Pilate and demanded that Pilate crucify Christ. And you see Pilate's answer in verse number 23. Look at what he said. The governor said, why? What evil hath he done? What has he done? Had he already said, I find no fault in him. More than once, I find no fault in him. But the Jewish leaders, when Pilate said, why, what evil hath he done? What reason should I, why should I put him to death? The Jewish leaders and chief priests and the people screamed more vehemently, crucify him, let him be crucified. But under Roman law, Pilate could not legally put Jesus to death. For blasphemy. You with me so far? Okay. It wasn't a death penalty. Now, Pilate did have a custom of releasing a Jewish prisoner every year during Passover. He's a Roman. Why would he release a Jewish prisoner at Passover every year? He wanted to placate. He wanted to pacify the Jewish people. They were chafing under Roman oppression, and he wanted to placate, throw them a bone. And so he would release a man who was on death row and set him free. Now, the Jews knew about this custom, and they asked Pilate previously, before the text here, asked him previously for a prisoner named Barabbas to be released. Release Barabbas off death row. And so an idea came to Pilate. In verse number 17, we read it. Look at it. Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? Now understand, folks, Barabbas is on death row. So if he goes free and Jesus takes his place, then Jesus dies. All right? Now, who was Barabbas? Who was this Barabbas? Well, Barabbas was, the Bible says in verse number 16, he was a notable prisoner, meaning that Barabbas was well known among the Jewish population. He was well known among the Jewish people, a well-known prisoner. Also, Barabbas was a robber. In John chapter 18, in verse number 40, the Bible says, now Barabbas was a robber. So he's well known among the Jewish people. He'd been guilty of thievery. Number three, Barabbas participated in an insurrection. In Mark chapter 15, verse 17, the Bible says, and there was one named Barabbas, which lay bound with them that had made insurrection with him. Now, an insurrection was also called a sedition. What was a sedition or an insurrection? It was, in our language, it was an attempted coup, an attempted overthrow of the Roman government. The Jews had long been under the oppression of the Roman government. They hated the Romans. And you know what they were looking for? They were looking for their promised Messiah to come riding in on a white horse and help them overthrow their oppressors. And they had hoped that Jesus was that type of Messiah. But you know what Jesus did? He didn't come in riding a white horse. He came in through way of a barn door in Bethlehem's manger. And you know what he came preaching? He didn't come preaching overthrow the Romans. He came preaching, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Amen. Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So that's what Jesus came in. Now, he was not the type of Messiah that Barabbas and the other Jews were looking for. So they rejected him. And Barabbas is this energetic, zealous young man who, along with others, decided to join together and attempt an overthrow of the Roman government. Number four, Barabbas was a murderer. The same verse, Mark 15, 17, says about Barabbas, who had committed murder in the insurrection. So, you get the picture. During this attempted overthrow of the Roman government, Barabbas was a part of it, and in that attempt to overthrow the government, he killed somebody. He probably killed a Roman soldier. That's who they're battling. They're fighting the Roman soldiers. So he probably murdered the Roman soldier. And when the attempted overthrow was put down by the Roman army, Barabbas was taken prisoner and charged with murder. Number five, Barabbas was sentenced to die. Because under Roman law, those guilty of murder received the death penalty. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. That's God's law. I'm not going to get political this morning. But if our justice system just went by the word of God, you'd see a drastic drop in murder. That's all I'm going to say. Barabbas was on death row. He was awaiting the day of his crucifixion. That's where he was. And there were others who were being held along with Barabbas, who was guilty of the insurrection, guilty of murder, guilty of robbery. And they were held along with Barabbas. They were also, all of them, awaiting the day of their crucifixion, because death by crucifixion was the most feared, it was the most often used method of execution, and it was the most feared method of execution, becoming more and more common as the Roman government attempted to make an example out of those who broke their laws and had been sentenced to die. And if our justice system made examples out of people who take a weapon and walk up and take somebody's life, this nonsense would stop. Three crosses were erected, and the Romans prepared to put Barabbas and two others on death row to death. So Barabbas is awaiting the day of his crucifixion. I'm not sure if he could hear the tumult that was taking place as Pilate argued with the Jewish people who to release and set free. What? I find no fault in the crucify him. He's your king. We have no king. But see, it was bedlam. It was bedlam. They're hollering, they're yelling, crowded, gathered, and it was absolute chaos. And maybe where Barabbas was being held, he could hear the chaos. Maybe he even heard Pilate say, "Whom do you want me to let go? Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ?" Pilate asked again in verse number 21, "Whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you?" You got two choices here. Barabbas is this notable prisoner. He's a robber. He participated in an insurrection. He was a murderer. He was sentenced to die by crucifixion. And Pilate had realized that the Jews had delivered Jesus out of envy and hatred. Jesus had done nothing wrong. He had certainly done nothing wrong that was worthy of death. Pilate was trying to set Jesus free. But you know how the Jews answered his question? "Whom do I release to you? Barabbas or this Jesus which is called Christ?" "Barabbas! Barabbas!" And the Bible says in the book of Mark, chapter 15, that Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas. Can you hear the keys turning in the door of the cell where Barabbas and the others were waiting? And the Roman soldier pointed to Barabbas and two other men and said, "You three, come with me." And two of the soldiers each took a man, and the Roman soldier turned to Barabbas and said, "You may go. You're free." We're not talking about a fairy tale here, folks. We're talking about an actual event, account that took place during the first century here in the year of our Lord, about 33 A.D. And as Barabbas was set free, Jesus went to die on the cross that was meant for Barabbas. You know, you have to wonder if Barabbas watched what happened after he was set free. Did he run home, or was he so caught up in all the things that were going on in Jerusalem at that moment? Did he watch as Jesus was scourged? Because that's exactly what happened after Pilate set Barabbas free. They took Jesus and scourged him. If you're unfamiliar with that, they had a pole where they took a man to be scourged, hung him by his hands, and took a whip that had nine little tails that came off of it. And in the end of those little tails of leather or string or whatever was a piece of bone or some sharp object. And they would take, with that man there at the scourging post, they would take that whip. And they did that 39 times. You think about that. I wonder if Barabbas watched. Did he watch as the soldiers stripped Jesus of his robe and put a scarlet one on him in humiliation and placed a crown of thorns on his head? Did he watch? Did he watch as they knelt in front of Jesus in jest and shouted, "Hail, King of the Jews," mocking Christ? Did Barabbas watch as they spit on Christ? You ever been spit on? I was spit on one time. Right in my face. I'll tell you something. It's not something you say thank you very much for. Did Barabbas watch as those soldiers took a stick and hit Jesus on the head? Did Barabbas watch as a man from Cyrene named Simon carried Jesus' cross to the place of a skull? Did Barabbas watch as Jesus freely laid his hand down on the cross and his feet? Did he watch as the Roman soldiers took those nails and nailed Jesus' hands and feet to those wooden beams? Did Barabbas ever think, that should be me? That's supposed to be me. Did he see the two thieves who were with him on death row in the cell just a little while ago? Did he see them hanging on the crosses that were meant for them? But what about the cross in the middle? What about the cross that was meant for Barabbas? Did Barabbas know who Jesus was? Had he heard Jesus preach or teach? Had he seen Jesus work a miracle? Was Barabbas one of the zealous Jews who initially had hoped that Jesus was the Messiah, but now he's disappointed when Jesus was not the military leader and here he is hanging on a cross? We don't know the answer to all of those questions, but there is one thing, folks, that we do know. Barabbas is a picture of every person in this room, every man, every woman, every teenage young man or young lady, every boy or every girl. Barabbas is a picture of me, and Barabbas is a picture of you. You say, whoa, whoa, whoa. Whoa, whoa. You describe Barabbas, he's a notable prisoner, he was a robber, he committed murder, insurrection against the government. You know, no, 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 that's not me. Folks, let me tell you something. Jesus did not just take Barabbas' place on the cross. He took the place of every last one of us. Everybody. Every last one of us. Isaiah 53 and verse number 6. All. Do we have to go to a dictionary to define all? All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to our own way, his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him, Jesus, the iniquity of us all. Romans chapter 4, verse number 25 tells us that Jesus was delivered for our offenses, not just Barabbas' offense. For our offense. No, 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 no. It wasn't just Barabbas whose place was taken by Jesus. It was you. It was me. It was all of us. We're all born prisoners of sin, born with a sin nature. Again, somebody might say, but Brother Angel, I've never murdered anyone or joined in any kind of political insurrection against the government. I never stole. No, but we are all guilty of falling short of the glory of God for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. When I was in high school, well, 3 or 4 years ago, you had to make a 60 to pass the class. Now, that changes a little bit when you get in college, I guess, a little bit. In college, if it's a course you're taking that contributes to your major, you had to make a 70 to get credit for the class. But high school, just to pass the class, you had to make a 60. So if the teacher gives out a test to a class of 25 or 30 high school students, 11th grade, we're juniors, and we all take the test and turn them in. The teacher grades them and returns them to us. And here in one chair is a young fella, and he scored a 54. And here's his friend sitting next to him. He scored a 34. Did one get closer than the other? But you know what the grade was at the top of their paper? F. Because they both fell short of the mark. People, we make a big mistake when we start comparing ourselves to other people to measure our goodness. We are measured against the perfection of Jesus Christ. You might be a 54. You might be a 34. Some of us were fours. And I include myself in that. But we all fall short. So you know whose sins Christ was hanging on that cross for? Well, yeah, he took Barabbas' place. He did take Barabbas' place, but he took mine. And he took yours. Because of our sin, we have been sentenced to death. Barabbas was sentenced to die physically on that cross. But guess what Barabbas was also sentenced to? He was sentenced to spiritual death. We've all been sentenced to die, both physically and spiritually. We die physically when life leaves our bodies. We die spiritually. The first question went from Todd calling me to me calling Brian Tarks, who was on the scene and in the ambulance with Trevor. I know he was going to the hospital, and I called Brian. Is he responsive? Yes. Falling 10 to 12 feet can result in a person losing their life. You know that. We die physically when life leaves our bodies. We die spiritually when we are separated from God forever in the lake of fire, Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. Revelation 20:15, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That's the spiritual death. That's the second death. That's separation from God forever. But listen, the eternal lake of fire does not have to be your destiny because Jesus took your place. Jesus did not go to the cross to die for one man. Hebrews 2:9 tells us that Jesus, quote, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man, not just the male gender, every human being. Jesus was punished as a sinner for sin he did not commit, for sin that I committed, for sin that you committed, so that we could be forgiven of the sin that we committed. He took our place. He took our punishment so we could go free. And that was God's way of proving how much he loves people. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The love of God was proven on that cross. The love of Christ was proven on that cross. John chapter 15, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Jesus laid his life down, not just for Barabbas, but for Terry and Alan and Nina and Trinity and Sharon, on and on and on. I love that verse, John 3:16, for God so loved. That word so, just two letters, S-O, S-O. The word so puts the emphasis on how much God loved us, so much that he gave his only begotten son. He was not guilty of sin. He didn't deserve to die, but he took our place. We're not told in the Bible if Barabbas ever trusted Jesus as his Savior. Where's Barabbas today? Well, I'll tell you, listen very carefully. According to the Word of God, he's in one of two places. His body has dissolved back to dust from whence it came. The bones are dissolved. Because Barabbas was a real person. Wasn't some make-believe Jack and Jill. But his soul lives on. His soul lives on. And it lives on either in heaven or in hell. Maybe speculation. Sheer, pure speculation. Maybe Barabbas fell on his knees that day after watching the crucifixion and said, Lord Jesus, you took my place. Maybe he did. I don't know. I do know this. Any person who wants to be forgiven of their sin and make heaven their eternal home has to do that. You got to bow your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ in humility, confessing that you're a sinner and believing that when he died and when he was buried and when he rose again, it was for you. We call that being born again. We don't call it that. God calls it that. How is a person born again? It's more than just believing that Jesus is real. It's more than just believing that Jesus even died, was buried, and rose again. It's more than just a religious experience. It's more than just a religious exercise. It's more than just a warm and fuzzy emotional feeling. It's more than that, church. Salvation is a birth, a spiritual birth. My physical birth and your physical birth have a time. We had a time and a place. We didn't just morph into existence. We were born, delivered into the realm of this life. And when you get saved, you're born into the realm of spiritual life. It's a birth. It's a birth. It's not being in a crowd of people where there is some emotional atmosphere and experience. Well, I went to this church. I went to this, and it was just such a wonderful feeling. Okay. But do not mistake that for salvation. Boy, in the world of religion that we have today, and that's what especially, that is, in my opinion, one of the things that's so dangerous about mood-setting church services. Moods do not save people. Let's make sure we get the music and the smoke and the lights, and let's create this. That does not take you to heaven. Not take you to heaven. It's conviction of sin. It's conviction of being guilty of sin. It's conviction that leads a person to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. Trusting Him, trust. Salvation is a birth, a spiritual birth. Jesus said, ye must be born again. I can believe that this chair will hold me up. I can believe that this chair was engineered, designed, and manufactured with the proper material to hold me up. I can talk about its design. I can talk about its engineering. I can talk about its manufacturing, the type of wood that the handles and the legs and the strength of the underneath the seat. I can talk about the wonder. And man, that is a great chair. I believe that chair is made to hold people up. But I haven't put faith in that chair until I sit in. Oh, yeah, Pastor, I believe in Jesus. He was a good man. He did a lot of miracles. And boy, that was a horrible death on the cross. I even saw it on a movie in Hollywood. And boy, I'll tell you what Jesus did, all that Jesus did. Not going to work, folks. Not going to work. Yeah, why did he do it? He did it for me. Because I am a sinner. I've lied. I've been selfish. I've been disobedient. I've broken so many of the Ten Commandments. I deserve hell. But he took my place. So I think I'll just trust him. Are you there? Are you there? Are you here instead of here? Who was Barabbas? You know, Barabbas was a sinner whose place Jesus took. That's what makes him a picture of me and you. The choir sings, and I can stand in his presence, for he took my place. Did Barabbas take full advantage of what Jesus did for him? What will you do? What will you do? What will you do? You're going to walk around the subject of Jesus Christ talking about how wonderful he is and stop there? Or are you going? Are you going? To rest. Barabbas is a picture of you and me. Everybody in this room is either here or here. I beg you this morning, if you're here, get here. Because it's not my word, folks. It's that eternal book right there. Okay? Terry Angel's not going to judge anybody. But that book is going to judge everybody. Where are you this morning? Where are you? We don't know about Barabbas. But what will you do? Let's pray together. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. And I'm going to ask a couple of questions. So I please would ask you not to tune me out. But listen very carefully. Very, very carefully. This is maybe the most important part of the morning. We're about done. Who can honestly say this morning that we're in church? If ever there's a place to be honest, it's here in church. If ever there's a place to be honest, it's here. Who would say this morning, by raising up your hand, Pastor, I know that I'm saved. I know that I'm saved. And I know that for a Bible reason. If that's you this morning, would you slip your hand in the air? And be honest. Just be honest. Be honest. Be honest. Thank you. You may take your hand down. Who's here this morning? You were honest. You did not raise your hand just now. And you be honest. Now it's your turn to be honest and say, Pastor Angel, I don't know for sure where I'm going when I die. I don't know. I didn't raise my hand just now because I was honest, and I'll be honest again. I don't know where I'm going. This is not a trick question. It's a simple question. I don't know where I'm going when I die. Would you raise your hand? You didn't raise it a minute ago. Would you raise it now? I see your hand. God bless you. Is there somebody else? I don't know where I'm going when I die. Somebody else. Some of you didn't raise your hand. Some of you didn't. Do you know for sure? All right. Anybody else? Thank you, sir. God bless you. Anybody else? You can take your hand down. Appreciate you listening, paying attention. Anybody else? Brother Angel, I could not raise my hand a moment ago because I don't know where I'm going when I die. I don't know. And that concerns me. Anybody else? Balcony, front to back, side to side. I'm not sure I'm saved. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. No one is looking. I want to just speak briefly to any who don't know where you're going when you die. In just a minute, we're going to have what's called an invitation. This is not to join Faith Baptist Church. That's not what it's for. I've preached to you the truth, the gospel of Christ. You know what you need. You're not sure that you're saved. We have men that can show men from the Bible, ladies that can show ladies. You know what you need to do. See one of these men right down the front here when the music begins and just say, I'm not sure I'm saved. That's kind of radical. Yes, but what Jesus did for you was pretty radical. I walked an aisle at a church like this years ago and said, I need to be saved. If God's speaking to your heart this morning, that day is the day of salvation. Don't wait. Maybe there's somebody here today, you've been saved but not baptized since you've been saved. You need to follow the Lord and believers' baptism. You can come, tell one of these men down here, I need to be baptized. Just obey the Lord, and if God is working on your heart, don't put it off. Act while the Spirit of God is at work in your heart. Father in heaven, I thank you for the opportunity to preach your word this morning. I thank you for folks that would pay attention and listen. And now, Lord, we have the time of responding. Maybe there are several this morning that don't know for sure where they're going when they die. You know, if there's one or if there's 10, doesn't matter. What matters is that person gets help today. Would you please, Spirit of God, would you please help them to come and trust Christ, find out how to be saved today. For anybody that needs to be baptized or join the church or make another decision, the altar is open. Father, work now. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Just a minute, we're going to stand. The music's going to play. When it does, you don't know for sure that you're going to heaven. Right out of the aisle, right out of your seat, down the aisle, tell these men, I don't know if you're going to heaven. Or I need to be baptized, whatever it is. You obey the Lord this morning. Let's stand together. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. The music begins. You obey the Lord. Would you come? Would you just come and let somebody show you how to be saved this morning? Would you come? You listened. You're interested. Would you come this morning, please? Somebody will help you. Somebody will come with you. Somebody will walk with you. You won't have to do it yourself. Would you come today? Let somebody show you how to be saved. Would you please do that? While we wait, our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Would you come? We can't make you. All we can do is invite you. That's why this is called an invitation. But I'll tell you this, if God's speaking to your heart, you can't be sure that he will tomorrow or the next day or the day after. Would you come today? While God speaks to your heart, while your heart's tender, while these thoughts are on your mind. You know how easy it is when you leave a place like this to just totally forget. Put it out of your mind. That's the last thing that needs to happen right now. Soul's destiny in the balance. Maybe somebody you know you've invited to come to church for next week or today. Pray for them. Now's a good time to seek the Lord. Ask God to do a work in hearts today. Before you go, would you come? Let somebody show you how to be saved. I'm pleading with you. Am I going to force it? Can't. But I can invite you to. The invitation to come and trust Christ. While we wait.